2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Veterans are who we are, what we talk about, who we fight for. This podcast sheds light on real issues facing our veterans. It informs the uninformed. It celebrates their triumphs and provides hope to those fighting a silent battle. This is Upholding Valor. Welcome, everyone. I'm Jill Atwood, Director of Communications for the VA Rocky Mountain Region and your host for Upholding Valor. Our conversation today is a must-have in light of our current climate and the events surrounding equality and race. We recognize diversity and embrace it here at VA. I want to say that right off the top. We see no race, gender, age, or sexual orientation. We serve all who have served and welcome diverse backgrounds and experiences. I am joined by those that ensure we foster that all-inclusive environment at VA, and today we talk specifically about VA Salt Lake City. There is a very robust diversity program here, I'm proud to say. Please welcome Toni Pegues. She is the VA Salt Lake City's Women's Health Program Manager, but also a diversity champion for the Diversity Inclusion Program here. Welcome, Toni.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks
for being here. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Daniel Palmer, who is our EEO Manager here at the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System and also a diversity champion for our program here in Salt Lake City. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. I know you've been busy over the last month. You have to be. I mean, we know what the conversation's been. A lot of questions, a lot of constructive conversation, hopefully, surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement and how that impacts our employees, our veterans, and this healthcare system. We know experiences and backgrounds play into how that impacts folks. Can one of you or both take turns talk about what you've been doing as a result of this really societal movement that we're experiencing? Either one of you, if you want to launch in.
Well, I will say that in the past month, whether it's been here at work or just at home, I'm happy actually to have experienced a lot of people reaching out. I think people have more than ever expressed their lack of awareness about this particular issue, about the issue of race in our society. Also have actually acknowledged being uncomfortable or how can they be better at understanding and gaining information to participate in a more constructive dialogue and constructive ways of being, mm-hmm. to foster understanding in this area. And so I have been pulled a lot of different ways pleasantly, you know, from like friends and neighbors asking to speak on this subject. Certainly here at our facility, being engaged in panel discussions and other side discussions. So it's been wonderful to see people work through some their level of discomfort, you know, around this matter.
Sure. Daniel?
Yeah, definitely. So we realized that employees and veterans, their lives don't stop at the gate, right? So when they come on campus, you know, there are going to be issues as far as the protests. You know, how is that affecting employees and what are we doing to make things better? So, you know, that meant taking a comprehensive look at our diversity and inclusion program, you know, asking questions, are we doing the right things? Are we doing things right? And what can we do better? So looking at what we can do better, having different ways to engage employees and veterans here at VA Salt Lake City. So that meant things like the panel discussion that we had doing this podcast here, making our services available to lunch and learns to teach, coach, mentor employees about the diversity and inclusion program, special emphasis programs as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of someone, say it be a service chief, just an employee who has come to you and needed some assistance within the workplace? surrounding this, something that's made them uncomfortable, or maybe they're wondering how that they need to say something to their employees to talk about this. I know that the medical center director felt the need to say something. I didn't know if that was trickling down to the rest of the services.
I know after our during and after our panel discussion last week, we received some wonderful questions and thoughts and comments from staff here. I've had staff reach out to say, hey, I've, you know, had insensitive comments. I felt there were insensitive comments from staff and veterans. I've had one comment from a disabled Native American staff here who reached out and said, hey, I couldn't get involved. I want to do something. I don't know what in particular I can do, but I do want to be involved in the committee. And just individuals reaching out to say there is a change. I mean, I actually had a staff reach out to me and say a change is needed. And they're trying to figure out, okay, where do I go with this thought? I'm feeling something. Mm-hmm. What do I do with this? And, you know, how can you help me, you know, to do some diversity work here? Not only, you know, on myself, but for our facility. So,
and what do they do? What do you tell them?
Well, I mean, some of it is very, I call it like foundational. You know, I want to acknowledge where they are at the moment. I mean, they're feeling uncomfortable, and that's part of diversity work.
Sure.
They're acknowledging some things about their mindset. They're acknowledging some things that they now see that they haven't seen, and they're wanting to have a conversation, and that's great. That's where you start at. Now, you know, wherever you are in your wherever you are at with going about the business of, you know, promoting inclusion or, you know, embracing diversity. I mean, that's specific to the individual. Certainly as an organization, there are things that we're doing, as Daniel mentioned earlier, with podcasts and just embracing this idea and saying, hey, we want all of our staff to feel connected, to be able to feel like they have a voice and can be a part of the good things that are happening at this organization or that can happen at this organization.
Did you want to add to that, Daniel?
Oh, well, one specific example would be Steve over at Patient Care and Cultural Transformation.
Yes, I know Steve.
Right, so Steve contacted me, and he wanted some tailored training for his group, so he invited me to a staff meeting over Skype to give him some training. And we kind of tailored what he needed. And, you know, we hit on some topics of diversity and inclusion. What is diversity? What is inclusion? Workplace civility. If someone had a complaint, how do they address those complaints? So we're able to address the needs of his staff, his group, and we're able to make the employees feel better about working here at the VA.
So this may sound like a stupid question, but someone may be thinking this. What is diversity and inclusion? What does that look like in the workplace?
Well, diversity just means recognizing differences. Diversity is what makes us different. So it could be our race, our color, religion, culture, socioeconomic background.
Sure.
So different things that make us different. So inclusion just means that we are able, that it's mainly when someone feels that they belong. So we embrace their inclusiveness. So there's a feeling of belonging. Because if an employee feels that they belong, they're more apt to do better, to take the initiative to address issues in the workplace. So that inclusiveness is recognizing that we are different, right, and using that difference to better the organization.
Yeah, I would just kind of add to it that, you know, some people think that simply because you have a diverse workforce, or if you have a diverse workforce, that you automatically have inclusion, and that's not the case. You know, the things that this facility is embracing, our executive leadership is embracing, those are strategies, those are things that bring about inclusion. People want to feel and be a part of an organization and feel they can contribute. So really what you're doing is, with a diverse population or a diverse workforce, you're leveraging all the talents that your workforce has. You're really like tapping into all the great things that they can bring and they should be bringing to meet, you know, our organizational goals and our mission here. And so the inclusion piece is a big piece, and it's a very meaningful piece, and it's hard to measure in some ways.
Right, and also along with inclusion, addressing any barriers that we have to that inclusion, right? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at barriers, and if there are barriers, how can we address them or remove those barriers?
And we're not just talking about employees. We're talking about our veterans as well. We
yes.
want them to feel included. And I know that we have specific programs here for veterans mm-hmm. as part of our diversity program. Can we talk about that a little bit? Because they're hearing the same noise that we're all hearing, and I want them to feel comfortable and know that this is top of mind for us where they're concerned as well.
Mm. I would say, I mean, there are a lot of different programs that we have internally. To make sure that we're looking at gaps and challenges and services for our veterans, ways in which we can engage them in processes. I mean, we do town halls. We do
sure.
A number of things to hear the voice of the veteran. It can be challenging sometimes, but I would just say that there are multiple, like, committees, programs, initiatives. I mean, we have Not Invisible. I won't call it an initiative, but an activity.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those pictures are
yeah.
so cool. I was a part of that, and it was an honor to be a part of that
yeah.
for women veterans.
Yeah, we do that for staff. We do that for veterans. And so there are ways in which we try to hear the voice of the veteran. And, you know, hearing the voice of the veteran may mean that we hear from the veteran that, hey, you're not really hearing us. You think you're hearing our voices, and here are some ways. So we always want to get feedback and input from veterans on, you know, what we can be better at, what we can do. And also, you know, it shines a light on what we think we're doing, but we're really not.
Right. And some other areas where we help veterans or assist with diversity, we have the language program where we can have translators come in to translate different languages to assist in their medical care. We also have American Sign Language interpreters that we can use. We have a minority veterans program coordinator, mm-hmm. so that person is available. And we also support the civil rights. So in the EEO officers report, external civil rights. So if a veteran feels that they aren't being treated properly, or, you know, that they are being discriminated against in some way or treated differently, they can definitely contact us for that. Yeah.
And I know that we have a pretty robust LGBT program mm-hmm. as well that I've seen grown mm-hmm. over the years.
Yeah, yeah. We are... you know, June is LGBT Pride Month. We're mm-hmm. having actually a virtual celebration on Friday.
I know, super
this
cool.
afternoon. So, so we do have coordinators there, and also what our gender identity veteran experience program as well.
You mentioned something earlier to me, and I want to go back to it. When we first started talking, you mentioned people realizing their lack of awareness and that you were pulled in different direction. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean that they didn't realize that you know, racism exists, or they come from a completely different background? Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
All of the above.
I'm sure there's many things. Like, I could have run down A, B, C, D, and G.
No, it's all of the above.
Sure.
And I guess what I would say about that is, You know, I talked about people wanting to feel connected. I mean, as human beings, mm-hmm. We want to feel safe, and we're going to kind of go into places that make us feel safe when we experience something unsafe or either unfamiliar. And so I have seen people who have become more emotionally engaged, but they haven't been emotionally consumed. And so they're able to think better and to, you know, strike some realizations about, you know, where they were, their thinking, their mindset, and now how that has impacted their way of being or being either a part of something that may have been less than healthy and now want to do something different about that. So, you know, like I said, I mentioned earlier, it's been great to see people have insight about where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And what they need to learn.
So you guys have seen some real change. Like I mentioned earlier, maybe some constructive dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, we had a wonderful response to the panel discussion
last week.
We
should talk about that real quick. Yeah. There was a really robust panel discussion amongst the employees here at the VA Salt Lake City healthcare system. Any wooden could join. You had hundreds of employees on at one time, and they were firing the questions, and good questions, and really hard to answer questions, I mean, from my perspective. And I thought you handled them beautifully. Were there any notions or thoughts that struck you? Any questions, any tones that you weren't expecting? Or,
well, I recall a particular question that sort of kind of moved us into a conversation about implicit bias.
I remember that one. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, and it was great because it really, you know, I love seeing our staff dive in and provide some response to the question as well. It just wasn't us. You know, they could recognize something. They alluded to, hey, you know, there's probably some component of that question that demonstrates implicit bias. It was great. So there was that, you know, definitely, you know, illustrated. There's some training around there that we should develop and offer to our staff. And then definitely questions about individuals acknowledging, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what's next. You know, give us some guidance. You know, I think what I really wanted to also put out to the individuals that joined us that day was being a resource. Like resource to just foster some insight and some guidance. Because if you're taking the step, you know, through your discomfort to reach out and be vulnerable, I mean, that is fantastic. And I think, you know, should be met with a response and knowing that, you know, where you can go to help you foster that learning and that insight and what you can do next steps in your you know, your understanding and your growth.
What'd you take out of that?
Same thing. So some of those tough conversations that we have, we may not be able to have in our workplace, in our work area. So it was a opportunity for employees to address some questions that they may have and for some subject matter experts to answer those questions. You know, like the federal government as a whole is on the forefront when we talk about diversity and inclusion. So for me, it was somewhat alarming that employees had some of the thoughts that they have. So we want to have that conversation. We want to address it. We want to show them that maybe that perception is skewed or off, especially the question with the diversity versus the quality. That's definitely something that we have to look at. Because when employees or applicants apply for positions, there's qualifications that they have to meet to get those positions. And then even in the workplace, you know, we have performance standards in place. So we want to make sure that we have the best employee, but at the same time, we want to embrace that diversity.
Gotcha. You know, the VA has received a little bit of flack, and I would say is working in the communications department, you know, we engage on social media, we try to educate staff on our thoughts, and received a little bit of pushback. Why is VA talking about this at all? That, you know, there's no business for you to, you know, offer an opinion. It's political. Well, personally, I don't see it as political at all. I mean, I feel like it's our responsibility, our social responsibility, to talk about it and make sure our employees feel safe and comfortable, and our veterans do as well. So I applaud you for taking this action and really talking about it. I want to end by talking about this moment in history, and it feels different. It feels like a movement, like something is happening. Do you feel that? Do you think we're getting somewhere? You know, we've taken 15 steps backwards, but maybe we'll end up, you know, running another 30 steps forward. What do you guys feel personally in with your backgrounds, your diverse backgrounds, and what you're seeing and hearing?
For me, I I think for a lot of people and people that I interact with, you know, often we've had conversations about what feels different, what we see is different. Definitely volume says something. The number of people, I've never had a number of people come to me and say, hey, Tony, can you talk to me about race? You know, so that's different there. So, I mean, there's no denying that, you know, what has happened over the last month in our society has not resonated with individuals, with a lot of individuals. And that some of the things that, you know, we may have been thinking about in the back of our heads, you know, people found the courage to just kind of, you know, talk about it and say it and share it. So I like to think that, you know, with all of like what I've seen and what I've experienced and the increase in conversations and just kind of reaching out to understand and also just increase in people acknowledging that they're uncomfortable, but they're willing to work through their discomfort is huge.
Yeah.
And so so I think that there's something to be said about that, and that, you know, this is an opportunity, you know, maybe an opportunity and a fortunate opportunity given, you know, what, you know, is associated with, you know, what is happening right now regarding individuals reaching out and opening up to new understandings and insights. But it is an opportunity nonetheless.
Right, right. So with the movement that's taking place in the community, overall, I think that it's brought about some awareness that now maybe some of those things we can look at and have those tough conversations, you know, especially with the younger generation that's coming up. You know, they're seeing things are going to be different. I think they're going to be different based on the movement that's taking place.
Tony, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you being vulnerable and coming in and talking about this important issue. And thanks to you for joining us today for Upholding Valor. Stay safe, take care of each other, and be kind. This is Jill Atwood. I'm a VA employee, Army veteran, and veteran of Desert Storm. This is personal to me. There is no greater mission than to serve and fight for those who fought for us. Thanks for listening and thanks for caring. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe or rate us, or better yet, tell a vet. And tell a friend to tune in by texting veterans to 57500 or go to ksl360.com/veterans. VA is honored to serve you. Talk to you next time.